Forever! Dog!
Look, man.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh. Culture?
Oh,
yes.
My goodness. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Listen, here's the fact. We were over here on the car and we're thinking and talking about our guests.
Oh.
We said, what are we even going to talk to them about?
Nothing. No, just, and then we laughed and laughed.
And then we laughed because what a joke that was.
Because there is a wealth of things to cover.
When I sat down, I had a thought, and I actually told everyone in the room that I had a thought, and I said that I would wait to say the thought until the podcast started. And it's now started, and I can reveal the thought that I had.
Please.
I'm very excited because I can talk about Orlando on this episode.
When? What forbade you?
And you don't
precluded
know.
Precluded you from talking about Orlando on the other one?
Often we have a guest that's not an Orlando bitch.
This is an Orlando
and
bitch.
I feel that at least one of our guests, because
one of
there
them
are
is an
there are
bitch.
Plural guests in the studio.
There's two.
I don't claim to think or assume that's just because someone comes on this podcast that they're an Orlando bitch, but I know for a fact we have at least one Orlando bitch in the studio.
It's rude when you're not an Orlando bitch.
I think
and
rude.
You sort of know that we are Orlando bitches, and I feel like the potentially non-Disney bitch of the two of our guests should have known that.
But I think they have. I think they have a very. I don't want to say they have a theme park energy, but I can picture the other guest who's not the confirmed Orlando bitch. I can picture them very vividly in a theme park.
Yes.
And think they'd have a nice time
and chomp on a turkey.
But maybe not too scary.
Chomp, huh?
I find that this person is very sensitive,
gentle.
And I wouldn't want to put them on a ride with like a loud sound.
No.
That might be a real thing to deal with later on.
He would scream.
He would scream. It's actually Rule of Culture number 88. When loud things happen, people
may
scream.
I think that is so true.
I have to reveal something to you. And
Please.
This might be hard to hear.
Oh, no.
But one of our guests, and right after this, I'm going to bring them in and she can explain herself to you.
Okay.
One of our guests, the Orlando bitch, has begun to start plans with me about going to Disneyland together in Los Angeles, California. Stop doing that.
That's me crying. That's the sound of my tears hitting the floor.
Stop this claptrap. Your heavy, heavy tears.
Wow.
And unfortunately, you will be in another state and not able to join us.
No. You guys, why would you do this?
Because she asked.
Look, it's fine. Like, you and I have different relationships with the confirmed Orlando bitch. Like, you guys get to go to Disneyland together. I am on a text thread with her called Club Ass, formerly titled Ass Births, where we update each other on our daily poops.
Right.
And she is a huge,
you're right. That's not the kind of fun I like to have.
She is a huge part of my life in that way. And
your ass life.
My ass life. And then the other guest, the unconfirmed Orlando bitch, I have loved since the first time I saw him.
To be honest with you, he's one of those people that
you
see him and then you ask.
What do you ask?
You're like, what's the deal with him?
You're like, hey.
Then you find out loving relationship.
Loving
and you move
relationship.
On.
And you move on. And how was that for you?
Easy.
Yeah.
Not that I don't think he's fantastic. It's just like, you don't have to tell me twice.
But it doesn't surprise you, right? You're like, of course, spoken for.
I wasn't surprised at all.
And it doesn't like hit you. It doesn't. It's not like a kick in the gut, a punch in the gut. You're like, no.
No, it was like a tickle on the shoulder.
You're like, yeah.
It was like, he has a boyfriend. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, for sure. Checks out.
You know.
So talented. Both of them, not just one.
And then the confirmed Orlando bitch.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Married to one of our favorite people.
Changed my life.
And then she changed my life.
No, she didn't.
She and I were, we'll talk about this. Listen, and not to reference these people in terms of, in
life
relation
change.
To their partners, their significant others.
Oh, of course. They have full lives on their own. And that's confirmed.
This, and we're going to hear some songs today. That's the reason why we're back in Han Engineer Ronnie's studio is we, in the studio.
In the studio.
We're going to hear their songs. I love their music so much.
And can I say something?
What?
Do you know how every time we come to Hot Engineer Ronnie's studio, he's always playing like a really good jam?
Yeah.
He wasn't playing a good jam today, but that's because the guests were rehearsing one of their jams. And so canonically, we're still
in that space.
Yeah.
I remember Hot Engineer Ronnie played SZA Control like the week it came out. And I was like, is this that new SZA album? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, it's really fucking good.
And then, of course, I asked, like, what's Ronnie's deal? And you were like, No. And I was like, okay, cool. And well, I moved on immediately.
Well, because you and I were both like, oh, Ronnie plays like Carly Rae Jepsen songs.
I was like, what's up with that? Is he a friend of Dorothy?
Friend of Dorothy? In Clueless?
Is he in
the Mattakine Society?
Is he in the Mattakine Society? Is he a Barbara Streisand ticket holder?
Now we're back to Clueless.
Okay. Yeah.
But Ronnie is not.
No. Which is fine. And I love that.
We love that. We celebrate that.
I love all my straight friends.
Now, I love the music so much from our guests.
I can't wait to experience our guests live in the studio musically.
And you can listen to their album, Friends Who Folk. It's a self-titled album. Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, wherever streaming happens.
They perform all over the city.
Yes.
They are called Friends Who Folk. Please give it up. For Rachel Winiski and Ned Risley.
Hi. What a kooky intro.
I don't think it was kooky.
It was so up and down and all around. I felt like I was on a dark ride.
Oh. Yeah. Now you, how dare you go behind my back and plan this. Ned, did you know about this?
Know about
this Disneyland trip that they're planning.
Oh, I did not know about it yet.
I've told no one.
I am not an Orlando bitch, I will just say.
Will you never be?
You don't have to be nervous about saying it.
I could be. I think I could. I definitely have enjoyed Orlando.
You've dabbled in Orlando.
I've dabbled in college.
When was the last time you went?
I think I was little.
Yeah, that was your first mistake.
So I don't know. Yeah, I haven't quite seen it as an adult. So I don't know what my response would be.
I'm giving Bowen a knowing look.
When I see kids at theme parks, I think they're going to regret being kids.
Oh, yeah.
I recently
did an I Don't Think So Honey Kids at the Magic Kingdom. I don't think they should be there. I don't think it's for them.
It's not for them.
Wait, I feel like this is where maybe we disagree because I feel like Magic Kingdom is the one place that is for kids. And
the rest of them aren't.
I like to describe Universal Studios as a theme park for adults.
Well, that's not inaccurate. That's not inaccurate.
Have you heard about the new Harry Potter coaster that they're building?
Of course.
No, literally. It's bullshit because now Matt will say there's going to be a coaster. It's one of the most highly themed coasters.
It is supposed to be really highly themed.
What does that mean?
It's inside and outside. I think it's going to be like the Mummy ride.
It's going to be very that. And there's seven launches.
I'm just
telling you, literally, be as much of a freak as I am and go on YouTube
the
and like look at the construction.
The blogs are really excited about it. And that's the thing.
I'm so proud of you.
Can I say that I'm so proud of you?
The trades are
The trades are a buzz.
The trades are a buzz. Wait, can I ask you a question? What's keeping you from going back to Orlando now?
I don't think it's an active aversion to it. The opportunity just hasn't arisen. But if you guys invited me.
Well, you have to make your own opportunities.
Right, I know.
If you come to LA in February, we will go to all the parks together.
That's the plan, we're going to go. When are you there again?
First 3 weeks of Feb.
Okay, so we're definitely going.
I want to do Disney. I went to Knott's Berry Farm last time I was there.
I heard that's fun.
What's that?
Well, it's like, it's another berry-themed theme park.
About berries?
Wait, its whole thing is berries?
Yes. So
it's like fruit.
I think it started as a pie shop,
and then there was a really, really long line for the pie shop. So the guy, not Mr. Knott, I guess, was like
Don Knotts.
Was like, I'm gonna put up some attractions to keep the people in line for these berry pies that my wife makes busy. And then then Disneyland opened and he was like, oh, that seems like a good idea, and just grew it into a theme park.
This is staggering.
Yeah.
Wow.
You might surpass me as the theme park bitch.
Well, oh my God, the guy without a shirt on his back across
the street. Oh my God, that's another thing.
Wait, this is huge.
There is a guy across the street from us who is purely naked.
And he's putting on deodorant.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
I think
Daddy.
He knows we can see.
And he's also bouncing up and down and bopping around. Are you guys exhibitionists?
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, in that I have been naked and continue to be naked in my own home.
Yeah.
But not like in a window.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want a stranger to see me in my window.
Are you commonly nude in front of the house, in the house in front of your partner, like, look at me, look at me?
No, really.
When I'm nude, I say, avert your eyes. No one's ever seen me fully nude. I always have one very sort of
a leaf,
or like a really thin silk scarf that's draped around just so.
Yes.
I always have like a light film over me.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Like a dirty.
It's like an extremely dirty. It's an extremely dirty, very light coat.
Just dirty enough to never be nude.
And it's see-through. Mm-hmm. So really there's no reason for me to.
I love that.
It's like a dirty gown. Dirty nightgown.
A dirty nightgown. Oh, cool. I love that. I actually love that.
Oh, yeah,
for you.
I do that.
Do you know what?
I definitely do that.
Do you know what my mom got me for Christmas?
What?
A bathrobe.
That's a nice
gift. That's really nice. Yeah, she wants you to experience luxury.
Yeah.
And I have been.
Yeah.
Is it like a fluffy nightrobe or like a terry cloth?
It's luxe.
Okay.
It actually says, what's the name of that place where the Countess Luann, her husband cheated on her at this place?
I have no idea.
Oh.
The Marriott.
No, it's like, but it says the name of the that hotel.
Mandarin
on it.
Oriental?
No, it's not that.
The Knott's Berry Farm Snoopy Hotel?
We can float away from this. I don't remember the name of the place.
Gay hostel.
I'm just saying it's going to be very hard to be there with Rachel and have to, you know.
I'm so
I don't want
mad.
To hurt you. So I don't want, I want to monitor my Instagramming.
Yeah. While we're there though, I'll keep you apprised of all my shits.
Yes. So Rachel and I are on this thread together. I didn't update the thread about the time that I shot into the plastic bag though.
I can't believe.
I was too embarrassed.
You know what I realized is that, so Bowen and I are also doing Whole30 together,
yes.
And we're on a Whole30 text thread,
yeah.
And
that's why
a
you're
shit
shitting
text
so much.
Thread. Yeah. But now we text each other for everything that goes into our body
and
also
everything
that comes out.
That's beautiful.
Is that a lot? Is that too much?
I don't think so. Good.
Are you someone who talks about their poops?
Ever since I've met Rachel, sir, definitely.
Yeah. You're shy about poop stuff,
I think. I'm a little shy, though.
Rachel's a very fecal person.
Yeah. I always really respect when someone just talks about their shits.
I actually...
Like, I always think it's really cool. I think it's bad.
No, I deeply hate it.
I just took a shit.
But then why don't you do it for yourself?
I do. I just have to wander in. I have to be kind of trusting. And yeah, but I wish I could just be like... Balls to the wall.
Yeah. Shit to the brick.
I'm not like...
I wish I could be like the guy across...
Yeah, the guy who just took his shirt off and took a shit in the window. Mm-hmm.
What if we took our clothes off for him?
I thought you were kind of entering into the discussion that we all kind of do some strip poker.
Oh. I was
that would be crazy for
the
listeners to know that we were all nude. We did an episode where when Josh and Aaron came for their first episode, we all took our shirts off.
That's cute.
We did the whole episode shirtless for no reason.
It was because we at that point, everyone was wearing hats.
Oh, yeah. I think your first time that, because you are a two-time guest now.
Yes.
That's true.
And so the first time that you were here, were we wearing, did we demand that you wear a hat?
I don't think so.
We wore a hat for the picture.
For
I
the
think.
Picture. Yeah. And I mean, the first live, I don't think so, honey, was a hat.
Yes, mm-hmm. The hats were still very much part of the brand.
Yes.
I looked so bad in that hat.
Oh, I looked terrible.
I disagree.
What hat was it?
It was a big, like, musketeer hat.
It was like a feather.
Yeah. Oh,
yes. Ned, I think you would look stunning in the hat.
I think it would actually suit you.
Yeah, it would.
I think so.
Yeah.
Now, tell us about how you two met and the journey that brought you to Friends Who Folk.
Mm-hmm. And have you guys ever folked?
Please tell us.
Well, similarly, when I met Ned, I was like, what's his deal? And then everyone was like, you're in a long-term relationship. And I was like, oh.
It couldn't work.
It would. And that's the only reason that
that's
we haven't
That's the only reason
folked.
Why it couldn't have worked.
And no other reason.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we met at the Williamstown Theater Festival in Massachusetts.
Hot.
Yeah. I feel like
hot.
I have to apologize. Cool. Whenever I say that, for
I know.
Some reason.
Why?
I'm like, at a theater festival. It's very esteemed.
It's the best.
It is a very esteemed festival. We were both in plays.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we were kind of the people who like wanted to drink the most, I think, yeah. is how we found each other.
This
and side of
really
Rachel.
Want to drink there.
People really, but you guys really wanted to drink.
We wanted to take it a little less seriously, I think.
There were a lot of grad school actors.
Yeah,
which,
a lot of my body is a temple.
Yeah, bless them. But yeah, they treat their bodies with a lot of respect. And we were kind of the people there who wanted to absolutely destroy our bodies. Uh-huh.
And from that, Rachel was like, you should do comedy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You had never done comedy. And I was like, that's crazy. Comedy is the most lucrative.
Yeah.
Easiest. And you said there's money there.
Yes.
Yep. There's a lot of money in comedy. I was like, it seems like you're kind of on the track to become a Broadway actor. And things are really going well for you. Why don't you start doing musical stand-up with me?
Yeah. But it's truly the best thing that's out there, in my
I
opinion.
Think it's the best thing that's out there, and I feel like we should just expose the listeners right now.
Let's have Rachel and Ned sing a song.
Can you sing us a song?
We would love to.
Well, this is from is this from the album or is this not?
This is not on the album.
Oh.
It is from after we released an album a few months ago, and we then wrote this song as soon as the album was done.
Well, the creative process never stops.
It never stops.
It's actually Real Culture number 93. The creative process never stops.
Mm-hmm. Never, mm-hmm. never stops and never sleeps.
No. Mm. And so tell us, do you want to talk about this song before you start singing it?
Yeah, this is a song about self-care.
Oh, yeah.
We love that.
Great. We love that a lot. Mm. And this is Friends Who Folk.
Life can be hard, sometimes you need to unwind. I have an end of day routine to clear my mind. I turn off the lights, silence my phone, 'cause this is a time when I am finally alone. I lay down and close my eyes, and then I think about everything I've ever done wrong. I think about everything I've ever done wrong. I remember all my faults and relive them in my head. And then at 3 a.m. I can finally go to bed.
Ned, what do you think about at night?
I think about the time in second grade when I threw up on the art table. The teacher was showing us what we were gonna draw and I threw up on her picture. I could have vomited on the floor, but I threw up on the picture instead. Mrs. Caggiano, I'm sorry about your picture. I think about it every night. It keeps me awake. I lay down and close my
I think about everything I've ever done wrong. I think about everything I've ever done wrong. I start at the beginning and go year by year, and at 4 a.m. I pass out.
Rachel, do you want to tell us what you think
about?
Yes.
I think about the time a girl in high school told everyone that she thought I was gay, and the reason she gave was that I was too obsessed with Sandra Bullock in the movie 2 Weeks Notice. That's not something I did wrong. That is something she did wrong, but I'm the one who thinks about that every single night.
I think about all the things I can't control and how I could have controlled them. I think about all the things that can't be fixed, and I try to fix them by thinking about them really hard. I lay down and close my eyes, and then I think about everything I've ever done wrong. I think about everything I've ever done wrong. I scroll through Twitter for 7 hours, and at 6 a.m. I go to work. At work I still feel really bad. I think about the time I peed myself at camp. I think about the time I slept with a guy who I knew was bad, but I fucked him for a year. I think about how I'm not the only one in the world, and then I feel bad because the world is bad. I think about how climate change is real. I think about the military-industrial complex. I think about the fact that 53% of white women voted for Trump. I think about the future when I am dead, and I wonder, will worms eat my eyes? Will worms eat my eyes? Will worms eat my eyes?
Mm-hmm. Oh my my God.
It's my favorite song.
It's so good.
It's my favorite song.
It's truly phenomenal.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
This might sound weird. How does it feel to know, like, you are so talented?
Wow. I don't know. I could ask incredible. You the same question, bitch.
Don't no. deflect. Don't you dare.
I'm not in the hot seat.
You two have such great so voices, great. Such great writing. I mean, it's all there. The musicality.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think we initially like nerded over our love for music, and mm-hmm. then it became like funny. Our interest in it. Like we both, when we were first friends, like would. Laugh about how we knew really like obscure Joni Mitchell songs. And yes. whenever we saw each other, we would kind of sing a little bit of Ladies of the Canyon or something.
Oh, Ladies of the Canyon.
So it grew yeah. out of like a really genuine love of folk music.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also like I'm such like a study like I love to like be really prepared for things. Mm. I love like I think that's why stand up, even though I did it a few times and like enjoyed it, it was never the thing that I wanted to do because I love to come being so prepared, like yeah. a little Hermione Granger.
Yes.
And this is the thing that I know that we can put a lot of work into and that it pays off because the music is good and not like shitty yeah. comedy music.
It's yeah. always going to be a known quantity wherever you go.
Right.
Which is like, but like mm-hmm. that, but that like is just a testament to like your writing in this container, which is like, it's a song. It's good. Like the jokes are landing in the right places. It's hitting the audience's ear in the right places.
That's a reason I like to do music too is because I know what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like it's what you're saying. It's not like literally the word I want to write is inebrious. That can't be right.
I don't know.
I don't think that's a word.
What you're trying to say.
Inebriated. Well, it's not like drunk.
Can I tell you what I love about what you do? It's not inebrious. It's not.
That's what I've always said.
Inebrious. Mm-hmm.
What is it? What am I trying to say?
Amorphous.
Oh.
I know you. I see you.
You do. You do. It's not amorphous. It's not inebrious.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Can you believe inebrious could be a word?
Your first and only language.
Wait, this is like really, really recently. I was trying to think of the word for thesaurus, and I kept just thinking Pictionary over and over and over. Yeah.
You stupid idiot.
I was like, I have to look up. I need a new word for this. I need to look it up in a Pictionary.
Wow.
HPE, are you looking up if inebrious is a word? No.
No.
I thought that she like pulled her phone out to like do this stupid
fucking thing. She's gonna fact check
and
for
she
you.
Was literally just texting.
Just living her life.
She was on probably that? Texting on this dumb bitch.
Get on this. Get on this. Is inebrious is a word? If not, we need to call someone and make it a word. I think the way you define inebrious is to be able to be drunk anywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm not. Yeah, I am inebrious.
I would say that you're inebrious. I've seen you drunk in lots of places.
We've been drunk across the country together.
We have. Yes. In Chicago, in Canada, in
Austin.
We didn't go to Austin together. But I have been. Oh, no, we went to Austin together.
We went to Austin together.
I didn't go back with
you.
Oh,
I didn't. Yeah, no, that was. I was very.
Okay, so we've
I was
all been
extremely
drunk in Austin
inebrious
times.
In Austin every time I go.
Wait, Ned, have you ever been drunk in Austin?
I've never been to Austin and I don't drink. No, I do. I do drink.
I think you would. I think. I think Ned is on his way to being inebrious.
Oh,
do you know what I'm saying?
Thanks so much. I've learned so much about myself on this podcast. I'm sensitive. I don't like loud noises.
People ask
I'm on
what
my way to inebriate. They feel kind of contradictory.
Oh my God, wait.
People ask what your deal
stop,
is.
Stop, yeah. stop. We've put a lot on Ned, I think.
Well, we have to ask Ned the question.
Yes.
And we're okay. But what we're going to say is we're going to put more on you.
Oh, okay.
So we've already talked to her about this on her episode. We've already had a discussion.
I want to revisit this with her later, though.
Well, you can do whatever you want. It's your show.
Oh
but
God.
What I want to do is ask Ned the question.
Yes.
Now go on.
The question is, what is the culture that made you say, culture is for me?
It's the pop culture in your life that was defining. This could be any form of culture. Okay. And it really is very open to interpretation how you answer this, Ned.
A book, a movie, a play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think actually Joni Mitchell is like a weird and like a weirdly early touchstone for me. Like I was like an 8-year-old who loved Joni. Like it was
You're
bizarre.
So lucky.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
No.
Like, I knew all the words to Blue when I was, like, 10. Like, I was, and I was wearing, like, overalls, and I had, like, a necklace. I was already a Lady of the Canyon.
Yes.
Then. So I think that was my way. Maybe not into pop culture, but into some kind of culture.
No,
that's pop culture.
That yeah, is it culture. Is pop culture.
Maybe a good title of this ep would be Ladies of the Canyon.
Oh my God. So. That would be a dream come
the
true.
Album or and
folking.
The
or folking.
Mm-hmm. Folking inebrious.
Or inebrious.
I love that.
On his way to inebrious.
Wait, we gotta talk, I love that, Ned.
We got to talk about Joni.
Can we talk about Joni a little bit? What's your favorite Joni material?
Joni, yeah, what's my favorite Joni album?
Do you love?
I've been listening to like older Joni lately. Mm-hmm. Or I got off her for a bit too because I OD'd.
Right.
It was so scary. I found him.
Yeah. I was just,
Wait,
Spark. I just had it on
Hold
Courtney
on, wait.
Spark.
This sounds quickly. Really scary. Rachel, what happened when you found that Ned had overdosed on Joni Mitchell? Yeah. And tell us, walk us through the whole thing.
Well, just as a disclaimer, this joke is in really bad taste.
Okay.
It's already in really bad taste. Okay, I'm not saying it's about to be more in bad taste, but just the fact that it was made in the first place, I think, is on my part very bad taste. But as we said, this is Howard Stern. that's something we said before we started rolling.
The vibe is
Howard. Is that what you say? Rolling?
Yeah,
rolling.
We said, when we began rolling.
When we began rolling.
And I said, let's all say something super problematic. And so I'm happy that we've gotten there only 26 minutes.
Checked
in.
One box.
But yeah, I just like walked in on Ned. He was like on the floor in a pile of his own throw
Joni.
Up.
Oh my gosh.
In a pile of his own Joni album.
You never told me that part.
It was because he had listened to a bunch of later Joni after he
kind of
lost
of
her
obscure,
gravelly voice.
Yeah, once the smoking had really taken over, you can't do too much.
I think that the newer version of Both Sides Now is more beautiful.
It's really beautiful.
It is beautiful. It makes me kind of sad.
It's
like
too
I
sad.
Can't
it's,
quite listen.
It's a very
to
sad
it.
Song.
Yeah.
From both sides now.
Well, it's because when she wrote it, it was like, okay, beautiful song. And then when she did it when she was older, I was like, okay, now you're on the other side.
Right.
Yeah,
you got to the other side of the cloud.
I love her so much. Yeah. She was also really formative for me. And I think, I feel like the way that Joni Mitchell to me, like was my pop culture was that being a huge Joni Mitchell, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, et cetera, fan as a very young kid was like, this solidifies that I will not be like the other girls.
Yes.
I was like, I'm not going to be cool because this is what I like to listen to.
Wow.
But then, you know, found my people.
There you go.
Yeah.
Joni is that thing, though, where it's like, it's like a North Star for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, it's like, it's yeah, it's like you guys said earlier. Like, that's how you guys found each other. And like, I think she just, my favorite thing about Joni is that she makes you more human by listening to it.
Yeah, she definitely is. It's she's a poet.
She's a poet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Her lyrics are unrivaled.
So good. And California?
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs of all time.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All of Court and Spark.
All of Ladies of the Canyon.
Ladies of the Canyon. I just like cannot overstate how much I love that song.
And it is a funny song. Or it's,
Trina wears it's her the,
yeah,
we, Humvee.
Yeah, when we were first becoming friends, we would just sing like really dumb lines from that song to each other. Like,
And all are fat and none are thin.
All are fat and none are thin.
Did you start writing your material while you were at W-Town or did that continue?
No.
Because what happened was your theater festival ended and you said, we must stay in deep touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, we stayed in deep touch. Like for anyone who doesn't know Williamstown, it's like we're touching
deep
each other
touch.
Physically, very deeply. Full
like
fists.
Joni would touch you.
But Williamstown is like, what, 3 months, two and a half months?
Yeah, you guys were gone for a long
time.
You're
really
like
long. You lose
away.
Grip of reality.
Yeah, you're sleeping in like an unair-conditioned dorm room in a twin-size bed and you're with the same like 15 people every second
and like
of
Blythe
the day.
Danner is there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who else? Who like Cuckoo was there? Cynthia Nixon was there while we were. It was like just the weirdest. You were like, oh, I'm at the local coffee shop with Cynthia Nixon. But you get like really close to people And it's crazy. And then you come out and it's like you've been through a war together.
There's a cult like aspect.
Yeah, it is a cult. So we got out and we were like, we got out.
We finally got out. Yeah, and you, yeah.
And
yeah,
then I got asked to do a show that was about like political stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, come write a song with me about politics. Mm-hmm. And we'll sing our song about politics. And then it went well and we were like, we should keep doing this.
Yeah, it happened kind of accidentally. Mm-hmm. Someone was like, what are you called? And we had to like think of a name because we weren't.
Can you explain the name Friends Who Folk?
It's a pun.
It's a pun on fucking.
Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
And it's like friends
are you inebriate?
Who fuck.
I'm inebrious.
Friends Who Fuck.
I'm sorry, I'm a little inebrious.
You're getting a little belligerent and inebrious.
Sorry, Matt's inebrious. He's just drunk everywhere.
He's drunk everywhere.
At this moment, ATM.
With a Pictionary in hand. My favorite folking pun is Folking Lessons, which I think was the name of a show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That was our show where only 20 people came and Bowen. And Bowen was the only person laughing.
No, it was such a good show.
No, but that was the most generous thing that a friend has ever done for me was come to my show where truly the only people there were like my mom. And your mom?
My mom.
Yeah, both of your parents were there.
Our moms were there.
And weirdly, like a table of industry.
It was a great show.
And then Bowen who laughed so loud and it was so nice.
It's my favorite stuff. I remember the first time I saw, it wasn't even called Friends Who Folk at that point, but it was YouTube. Put a video up on Facebook of you guys singing We Are Friends,
But We Don't Have Sex.
And I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
They're my favorite.
That was the first thing we did. Yeah.
And but then the Friends Who Folk as it is iterated now is like through that political show.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. That was like when we wrote it and then when we wrote our first song and then we just kept writing.
We did Blythe's show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like people asking each of us to do shows and
hopping on.
Yeah, we would hop on and it started, became a thing.
Yeah, started with a political song and then we just started writing dumber and dumber songs until here we are. Mm.
And of course, we all have our roots in writing dumb songs together and
it's true.
The three of us anyway. Before when Ned was very young.
Yeah, Ned hadn't even been born yet.
He hadn't even been born.
Yeah, I think I saw the last show when I was 3 years old.
Pop Roulette feels like actually another
lifetime ago.
Yeah. We are not the same people, which is fine.
Great. I saw you guys at Union Hall. I do think it was like late in the game.
Oh, yeah.
When we started doing our live, our full band shows.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? That those popular shows that we did at Union Hall were never like crazy well attended.
I know.
Like I go to shows. I feel like every show I go to at Union Hall now is sold out. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm like, did Union Hall kind of like pop off in the last 2 years?
I don't know. We always do our monthly show at Union Hall and I love that venue so much. And also we've done shows there that had a lot of people and shows where there were truly no people.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, that just might be us though.
Yeah.
Oh, I did a show there a year ago with Sam Taggart and 5 people came.
What show was that?
It was Durbus.
Durbus.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And it was, we were not clear about what the show was and we patched it together at the last second and it was a crazy show.
I liked that you guys announced that you had a show called Durbus and that no
and
one knew what it was.
No information.
I like this new thing of creating a show that doesn't have an identity and saying buy tickets to this.
Edie Monica does that. I love her. She'll announce like, hi, come to my new show. My butt smell like ass. My butt smell like shit. And you're like, what is
that? That feels very our brand as well.
It is. My butt smell like shit.
My butt smell like shit.
Edie's amazing. She opened up. You weren't there, but she opened up for my last Christmas show.
Heard.
She did the funniest fucking character. And speaking of openers for my Christmas show, also Friends Who Folk.
True.
Mm-hmm. And I was on the side thinking, this is the comedy
that you want,
that I want to see in the world.
For me. I need to talk more about Joni. Ned, Joni over Carol.
Bringing it back to Joni.
Joni over Carol King.
Yeah. I mean, I love Carol King.
I'm doing this thing though where I'm pitting
women against each other.
You're pitting women against each other, and it is toxic.
You're right. You're right. Never mind. Did I take that back?
Did you see the musical Beautiful?
I didn't.
I did. Beautiful is the Orlando theme parks of Broadway shows.
I want to see it.
How dare you say that when King Kong is just streets over.
Oh, right. I want to see King Kong.
Wait, really
I really
want to
see
actually.
King Kong too.
Let's go to King Kong.
Ben Moss told me it's scary.
Oh my God.
I heard it's scary.
Because the Kong is so big.
Yeah, because it's a big Kong.
It's a big Kong.
He's a huge fucking Kong.
Well,
that show has a huge Kong.
I heard the Kong is absolutely huge. And I even hear the Kong's so big and so unwieldy that sometimes the Kong will malfunction.
Oh.
How does the Kong work?
That's very Orlando.
I believe
Orlando.
It goes like this.
Uh-huh. Is it a puppet?
Mm-hmm. I think it is. It's like a puppet / animatronic. It is.
It's
actually,
not an actor.
It is. No, because it's huge.
Wait, you've done the Reign of Kong.
The Crystal Skull. Wait,
that,
isn't it?
The Skull Island Reign of Kong. Island. You've done that, right?
Yes.
Okay, with the big ass King Kong at the end?
Yes.
That's gaggy.
That was the Kong at the end is the gag.
Wait, that Kong was so big.
No, that Kong is huge.
I don't quite remember the Kong.
It's because you were inebrious.
The rest of the ride didn't do it for me, though.
Yes, no, because it's too many screens. Hashtag too many screens.
Hashtag too many screens. And also, the car is so big. The van or whatever is so big that you can be sitting in the middle of it. And then you like
can't see
out the window.
Yeah. That's a thing. Do you like Star Wars, Ned?
I do.
You know that Disney World's getting Star Wars Land.
Oh.
Yeah, so maybe that would be a good opportunity
for you.
There's going to be a ride where you get on the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, that's what I've wanted to do since I was a little boy.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet being a fan of Star Wars that you wanted to get on that thing.
I'm ready.
Yeah, you're ready.
Love Han Solo.
Yeah, honestly, what's his deal?
He's taken.
Oh, sure. I'm over it.
A little tingle on the shoulder.
Shoulder tickle.
Have you done Avatar?
No.
Oh my God. It is the group, guys.
Is it?
It's the group.
Wait, have you seen the movie Avatar?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, great. Okay,
then
great.
You would Sigourney love this. Weaver.
Sigourney.
Yeah. Her star-making
Yeah, that's how she became famous.
It's actually rule of culture number 18. Sigourney became a star in Avatar.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely could not get through that movie without feeling so motion sick.
It's a disgusting movie.
It's very weird.
I was sitting. There are three movies I've had to walk out of because they made me sick to my stomach because of how shaky the camera was and how sick I was.
Was Wrinkle in Time one of them?
No, because I saw that on a. Oh, no, wait.
Wrinkle in Time, I had to leave.
I think I saw that on a plane.
I had to leave. Oh, God.
Only you can wrinkle time. Thank you, City Green.
No, the three films, though, are The Big Short.
What?
Because it's such a shaky cam.
Oh, my God.
It made me feel so sick. Avatar, which I
wouldn't like
had
Jumanji.
To leave. And Precious.
Oh.
I was sitting so close to the screen and it made me feel so sick because it was such a shaky camera.
Oh my God.
How are you with the favorite? Because that had all that like weird fisheye.
I think I was far enough away from the screen.
That's good.
It made you feel.
I wish I could do movie reviews somewhere where they're just reviewed based on how motion sick they made me feel.
Yeah, it should just be you in the front row of every movie reviewing it that
I'm
way.
Like, yes. Wait, but shaky cam.
As an Orlando bitch, you have
Dramamine. You love the thrill.
Yeah,
Dramamine.
Oh, you are a Dramamine taker.
I have to take. Okay, so the rides that really make me absolutely like
talking
the Simpsons.
A big game, and then we're taking a Dramamine. Okay? I just want
the Simpsons
say,
ride,
and I'm sensitive.
Yeah, the Simpsons ride is fucking crazy.
The Simpsons ride, I thought I was going to pass away.
Oh my God.
I almost passed away on that.
I had
to close my eyes.
Yes, I feel like we need to apologize to Ned.
Why?
For calling him sensitive.
Yes, this is perfect. I am very sensitive. I said that my way into pop culture was Joni Mitchell.
But we didn't say we didn't mean sensitive in the pejorative at all.
What's pejorative?
Like in a negative
it's
way.
Like, it's like inebriate.
It's like inebriate.
You know.
No, I didn't mean pejorative at all. I did not mean that pejoratively.
I love sensitive.
That is really sensitive.
I am actually very sensitive.
We weren't being pernicious.
I know.
Oh my gosh, what a word.
What's Ned's deal? Taken.
Sensitive.
He's folk.
Love for. The Millennium Falcon.
The Millennium
and Joni Mitchell.
That's Millennium cool, though.
Falcon. The Falcon.
The Falcon. The Millennium Falcon.
Falcon.
That's great that you were able to be so dynamic as to contain the multitudes of I like Joni Mitchell but would like to ride and maybe even drive the Millennium Falcon.
Would love to drive it.
Yeah.
It would be my honor.
Now, you guys started writing new stuff as soon as the album came out.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a timeline on the next release?
Oh my gosh. Mm. The next album release?
The next album, yes.
Well, we have to keep writing, and then we also have to just raise the
funds.
Capital,
yeah.
As yes. they say in the biz, to pay for an album.
Yeah.
Does it all just go to studio stuff?
Yeah.
Studio fees?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We recorded our first album at a studio called The Relic Room, which is
know
a
it well.
Great studio where we also record the Story Pirates podcast, and we just like want, in the same vein of like wanting the music to sound like good music, we want it to be recorded well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds
That's
so
a good,
good
studio.
It's a great studio.
It is.
Okay.
Studio. I think this
it's a great studio.
It's a great studio. Great studio.
Back in the studio.
Studio.
What is
this? I've started to realize that asking people about process is like impossible because basically all you're asking is how. Mm-hmm. Oh, I read Less and like it's
I loved
it. Didn't you love did so you read good. It too?
Yeah, we all read it.
Oh
okay
my God.
Matt, have you read it?
Mm-mm. I think wow. Matt
you should read it.
Matt would fucking love it.
I think you would too.
What is it about?
It's
a gay man.
It's about this
okay, I'm listening.
This gay author okay. who is turning 50 and he's having this like a bit of a midlife crisis around like aging as like a gay man, and then
right.
his ex-lover is getting married and he starts freaking out, so then he goes on this book tour around the world mm-hmm. in order to escape that and like think about what it means to like go into middle age, and then it's like a really beautiful meditation on that.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
It's so funny too.
It's really funny. I love that it's a book about what it's like to feel sorry for yourself while also recognizing that it's shitty to feel sorry for yourself when you have a lot of privilege.
Yes.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I think it grapples with that very well, where he's like, I don't matter and I don't deserve to feel this way.
But the thing is, like, this is something that I've sort of like come around on is like, no, like, we're not walking around thinking, well, I shouldn't feel bad because I'm so privileged.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
That, like, it's still, you're still in a lived in experience where it's like, I'm going through a shitty time that has, for the most part, might not have to do with my identity. I mean, maybe it does. I mean, of course it does. But
it's that actually is more harmful to say, let me ignore my feelings because it's because they could be worse.
Yeah.
Like you're that's mm-hmm. how I think you make yourself sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly, I do think that like the complexities of all of that is what that book is about. And also it's funny and sweet.
And it ends, the ending is so
it made
nice.
Me cry.
Is there an incredible love story? Is it
you
a sexy book?
You have to
it's
read it.
It's not sexy.
It's pretty sexy.
Yeah, there are moments.
There's fun little
there's
sex.
Some, it's not like 50 Shades of Grey.
It's not what, Rachel?
It's not 50 Shades of Grey.
It's not 50 Shades, but like.
What happens in that book?
That book is
about
also about like, kind of a contemplative look. Inner look at like privilege and class in America.
Totally.
Yes.
And also what it's like to put an egg in your vagina.
Famously, we went to go see 50 Shades of Grey when it came out with Anna Dresden on Valentine's Day. Bebo and Anna Dresden. And I'll never forget the moment when 3/4 of the way through the film, after 800 sex scenes, a little boy in the back of the theater was like, Daddy, I need to go to the bathroom.
No.
And everyone in the theater was like, no! Everyone screamed.
Oh
it was
God.
It was the most cathartic thing we've ever been a part of.
It was so funny.
It was hilarious.
Everyone was horrified. Just I love nothing more than a gasp from an audience. A collective
not about the
gasp.
Movie.
It was
not
about the movie. It just washed over the whole audience. It was
That's
so
terrible.
Fabulous.
That's so terrible.
Fabulous.
That poor
that
child.
Poor kid.
Yeah.
Poor
and kid. Speaking of washing over an audience, I think that it's time for you to wash another song over us, your audience.
Oh my God, what a dream. The thing about this song is that it's incredibly niche.
Niche.
Don't correct.
Niche. What is it? Because
niche.
I always said niche And then people say niche. No, and they're now wrong. I'm like,
no.
It's inebrious.
As two niche people, we can tell you that it's niche.
When people, as two it's people niche. Who are constantly told by TV networks and
that you're too niche.
That we're too niche.
Yeah.
Which means gay.
Mm-hmm.
It's niche.
You got it, got it, got it.
When did you come out as niche?
oh my God, were
at
your
a general
parents-
2 years ago.
Did your parents have a hard time like accepting that you were niche?
Yeah, they were like,
they've known I was niche for a long time.
I think it was harder than when I came out as gay.
Yeah. Well, my parents were like, we're sending you to an ex-niche therapist in Colorado Springs. And it's like really informed my identity as an adult. Okay.
Now tell us about this niche song.
Well, I don't want to say too much about it, but it is a prayer.
Yes.
And
you guys are very religious.
We are extremely religious. Mm-hmm.
It's a big part of what we do.
Yeah,
yeah. We sort of haven't touched on that, but we're both like very Christian.
Yes.
Well, God's real.
Mm-hmm. God is real. Yeah. And
he is.
I hope you're ready for us to take you to church.
Thank you. This is Friends Who Fuck.
Sips a dry martini in the corner. She nods and smiles at the maitre d'. The candlelight flickers across her velvet bowler hat. Who is she? Patty LaPone. Lie, 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 Patty LaPone. Patty LaPone. It's just another Wednesday night at Sardi's. Just another grueling two-show day. She limply gives a wave to an old friend across the dining room. That friend is Victor Garber. La 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 Patty LaPone. Patty LaPone, born Patty Ann LaPone in 1949. She went to Juilliard Group One. She's been in everything from Gypsy to Les Miserables, but most importantly, Law and Order.
Whoa, you think it's Law and Order? That feels like kind of homophobic for a musical theater star, Patty LaPone.
Excuse me? You're calling me homophobic?
Mm-hmm.
It is actually extremely sexist of you to think that a woman could be homophobic. Plus, she's very known for Law & Order. Like, she has a guest starring arc on SVU.
Okay, okay. What's her character's name, if you're such a fan?
Wow. Ruth Miller, ADA. Bit. Ruth Miller, ADA, played by Patty LaPone.
She looks around the bar, it's time to pack it in. She turns to her friend Sean, a 24-year-old gay man. She says, if there's one thing that I have learned in my career, it's call me a fucking cab, I'm Patty LaPone. Lie, 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 Patty LaPone. Patty LaPone.
Everybody,
lie, 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 lie.
Thank you for singing with us.
That was incredible, and it was our joy to do that.
I forgot the words for a sec, but that's the magic of live
theater.
Podcast. Where does that come from? Did you actually observe Patty LaPone in her natural habitat of Sardi's?
I actually did see Patty LaPone at Sardi's at one point, and it was actually one of the crazier celebrity sightings. Like, it was the most predictable, actually, to see Patty LaPone at Sardi's.
But meaningful.
But I was like, I'm usually not that shocked by seeing a celebrity in New York, but seeing Patti LuPone in a bowler hat at Sardi's like really iconic.
Well, you know what it is? It's when I think about, when I see a celebrity, I'm like, have I seen this person in a room with hundreds, if not thousands of people where we're all focused on this one person? And now am I like within feet of them?
Yeah.
If the answer is yes, then I'm like, this is crazy and this is so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
That like someone who has been so, I've seen so on display in a room.
Yeah.
Suddenly I'm like within feet of them. I'm like, oh, that's nuts. I don't know. That's my weird thing with celebrities.
Well, it feels crazy to see famous people like.
At all.
I've seen famous people where I'm like, yeah, I mean, obviously this famous person exists.
Yeah.
And then others where I'm like, it's actually impossible to me that they're a flesh and blood person that's standing here.
Mm-hmm. Patty's one of those people.
Also, when you see a celebrity multiple times, like in person, you're like, that's not the same person I saw, but it fully is. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen Kelly Clarkson in person 10 or 11 times, and I think she might keep being replaced.
Oh my God, conspiracy theory.
But it is her
every
time.
That's very Avril Lavigne.
Kelly Clarkson I saw in Los Angeles do a little gig.
And she was fully different.
But she was the same Kelly Clarkson that we saw at The View.
And yet there she was.
And yet there she was. It's just crazy that she's out there living a life right now because I love her.
And she gets to go to different places.
I know.
Yeah. Like Patti LuPone is doing something.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. That's so
She's in Orlando.
Are you guys Patti fans?
Oh, big time.
Love her. Mm-hmm.
But I'll say this. I'm a huge Patti LuPone fan, but the one time I saw her stage was a matinee of Gypsy, and I felt like I didn't live up to what I wanted.
Loved her in Gypsy and saw it twice.
Amazing.
Someone told me saw her in something and she had a cold and
that was me.
Oh yes, that was you. Okay, then you tell the story.
I saw Gypsy on Broadway twice, and the second time she had a cold and she held a tissue the entire time.
That's my dream.
She famously never calls out of shows.
She never calls out.
So she was sick and still went, and she just incorporated this tissue into the character and would kind of like blow her nose and sneeze into it.
Very Juilliard. She made it work.
Oh my God.
And
Mama Rose is sick
amazing.
Tonight.
Yeah.
She's been sick for 30 years.
Yeah, it was amazing. She just said that at the beginning.
Yeah.
Mama Rose is sick tonight.
Stop taking pictures. I just love her so much.
She does the most iconic performance, I think, at that Kennedy Center Honors Barbara Cook.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. I'm gonna love you like nobody loves you, come rain or come shine. I didn't do it right.
She's amazing.
She's you know what the best part, my favorite thing about Patti is that she's amazing in interviews.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah. She's an incredible Watch What Happens Live interview.
She fucking shits on Madonna.
She said Madonna's Madonna a movie thing. Killer.
Yeah, that was
and
so
can't
funny.
Act
like
worth
dead
shit.
Eyes or something?
Yeah. She's got dead eyes and she can't act worth shit. And then she described like the first time they ever met. And she said that Madonna only said to her, "I'm taller than you."
Insane.
Oh my God, I saw her in War Paint too, which was like,
what was that? Oh, the
how was War Paint? I felt that was the story of me and Bowen.
Yeah. Well, we were a show called Night Soap that was very similar to War Paint.
Okay. Yes, actually, I saw the first Night Soap and. Okay, well,
first and
if
only.
Anyone, I hope no one listening worked very hard on War Paint, because I will say Night Soap was like good War Paint.
I felt that even though I didn't see War Paint.
Songs,
I felt that what we were doing the whole time was good War Paint.
So. Ned was the line producer on War Paint.
The songs in Night Soap were more memorable than the songs in War Paint, which is
we didn't
a lot
have any
because
songs.
There weren't any.
There were not any songs.
There was a fight scene.
Yeah, there was with Breakaway.
With
glass,
breakaway glass
right?
and gun and space gun.
We have to do it again.
It's so fun.
That show was amazing.
Thank you.
I can't believe we did it once for like 70 people.
Wait, what was the premise?
Nova. Night Soap was a play that Bo and I wrote for Ars Nova and Fest 2 years ago.
Yeah, two years ago.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, where we played two women, a warring matriarchs of two chocolate dynasties. I was Barbara Hershey, who's also the actress.
And I was Veronique Nesley.
And basically what happened was they were old friends.
Who came up with a patent for a chocolate that could be edible in space. Like transportable and edible in space.
But the thing is, like, their husbands twins were constantly having conflict because they were Mr. Hershey and Mr. Nestle. And so they were like, well, let's get together and like sort of like figure this out, because the men certainly can't. And over the course of the first scene, which is the first act, you find out that, was it I was fucking your son?
You were fucking my
son. I was fucking her son.
That's right.
And then,
oh my God.
Then the communication breaks down. And it's not until second act in the Alps.
In the Alps.
Where we see each other again.
In the chalet.
In the chalet.
Oh my God.
In the Swiss chalet.
This show was so funny.
Thank you.
It's truly, I keep saying this, it's the only thing that I look back on that I'm like proud of. That like that's something that
the only thing
I read the script. Thing. I read the script like 2 months ago, and I was like, "This holds up."
You think so?
Yeah, it needs to be produced.
I think we get it.
And then, of course, the third act, spoiler alert, takes place in space, and there is a fight to the death, and we have a full space outfit.
And there's a
you were wearing like body
suits, and then there's a twist ending that I am so proud of.
There's a huge twist ending.
People gasped in the audience.
Yeah, I was shocked. We won't spoil it because you guys should do it again.
Wow. I can't spoil it.
Or maybe that's your niche pitch to networks.
Yes, niche pitch.
Literally, I did meet with one production company. I will not say which. And I described the idea and they were fucking gagged for it.
They liked it? Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you who it was later.
Fun.
But maybe it'll be on some sort of niche network near you sometimes.
Okay, but this was going to get me into my thing before we talked about Less. And this is actually a great segue into your guys' writing process. And like the thing that they say in Less is like, what else is there to ask a writer except how? Mm. But like, I feel like, do you guys have a streamlined way of like writing your stuff, or is it like more like just like you guys are playing around with different ideas?
Both.
I feel like it has often been that we have like an idea and kind of with that idea like a genre, or we're like that's a Sarah McLachlan or whatever it is, and then we kind of riff on that. But then there have also been ones where like we have an idea and it's a little more fully formed, and then we help the other like bring it to life. But it's often us like really just at a guitar and with a computer open, like improvising stuff,
diddling.
Yeah, because sometimes it'll be me being like, I want to write a song about how like treating like staying up all night worrying about stuff is like a type of self-care. Like, let's write that and then we'll sit down and write it. Or it'll be Ned being like, can we write a song about the movie Stepmom?
I love that one.
We'll do that. Or like, we just wrote a song about Marie Kondo. That was literally because Ned was like making fun of me for doing Marie Kondo stuff. And he was like, I just like
well,
want
you're doing Whole 30 and Marie Kondo, which is like, you're just, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Marie Kondo is the Whole 30. Really, it's the Whole 30 of your space.
Yes.
Yeah. But then.
No, I think I also believe in you. I'm sorry.
Thank you so much. I'm trying to change my life and you are actively keeping me back.
No, I really want you to change your life.
We all desperately need you to
want
change
Rachel
everything
to
about
change
you.
Her life.
But Ned was like, I just like think that I just want Marie Kondo to like come over and scream at me. And then like we were like, well, that's the whole song. And then we wrote it in 15
minutes. Yeah, it just feels
minutes.
Like everyone wants Marie Kondo to really like dom them right now. Yeah,
we should be able to do that one.
We could try.
Want Marie Kondo.
We could try to do it right now.
Let's try and do a little clapping.
Okay, I'm gonna forget. I'm gonna forget the words.
What's our key?
Great.
Okay.
Let them do it.
You can clap with us.
I want Marie Kondo to scream at me and tell me that I've been a bad, bad boy. I want Marie Kondo to write a letter to my parents and tell them I'm a messy piece of shit. I want Marie Kondo to convict me of a crime I didn't commit and put me in jail for my whole life. I want Marie Kondo
to look me
dead in the eyes and say you don't spark joy. I'm gonna
donate you to
a church. I want Marie Kondo to scream at me and tell me that I've been a bad, bad boy.
I want Marie Kondo to drive me to the dump and throw me in the dump, and then I'll finally be free. Be free. Be free.
Yes.
Okay, we sort of know the lyrics. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that was great. I really like that news friend to a folk song. And also, I vividly pictured someone looking. I think this would be a good reality show. Marie Kondo, but with friendships. So it's like, you have to look someone in the eye. It's like, you've decided that out of your five friends, three of them don't spark joy.
Oh my
no.
God.
And you have to tell them.
You have. That's a very Matt Rogers pitch.
You seem so excited to do that.
You're like, you have friends, but you have too many friends.
I think that's called boundaries.
Tonight.
I just love Marie Kondo.
I love her. I Marie Kondo'd my room too.
Did?
Did you like it?
And Sudi
is too. I'm cynical about it, but I believe in it.
I believe in it.
I think it works.
I think the way your living space is organized is a direct reflection of your mental state, and it's helped.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like, I did the whole thing where I put everything on my bed, mm-hmm. went through the stuff I wanted to keep. And I'm honestly thinking that like all these Goodwills and churches and in places, these donation places are like overwhelmed right now.
Yeah.
So I'm just tossing it in the trash. Is that bad?
Yes.
I don't want them to go to
I don't think that's bad, but I think your rationalization is crazy. I think the idea that they're overwhelmed is not the way to go. But like, if you want to throw out your stuff, like you should go for it.
It's intense projection too, because he's overwhelmed at the thought of it.
Yeah, I feel like the soup kitchen, like they're getting a lot of monetary donations right now. So I'm just taking my money and I'm burning it.
It's not that, no. This is the thing. It's not that I'm If I were bringing money to the Goodwill, I'd be like, here's $1,000.
Yeah, but they're still goods.
No, I understand what you're saying. I think that it's fine because I think it's fine to take stuff there, even if they are overwhelmed, because I think a lot of those places have the means to recycle textiles.
And a lot of these places, a lot of the Goodwills, I hear, just toss most of the donations.
They just throw it in the garb.
They do.
That's very possible.
You're performing a service.
I am.
Yeah.
H&M recycles used textiles.
Oh, right. I should have done that.
I think it's fine. I've definitely thrown like old underwear and like it doesn't matter.
I have
I save all my old underwear. I throw it in a basket to save it.
You
forever.
Eat it.
Yeah, for dinner.
Yeah.
I save it for dinner. I can't get enough of this stuff. Whole 30.
Whole 30.
I'm eating, because it's your been on my
been touched.
Whole.
Yes.
I'm eating 30 pairs of underwear this month, and that's
And
that's self-care. It.
You're glowing.
And that's it. Sometimes it gets really late at night and I feel my stomach start to rumble and I'm like, oh, I really want to eat my underwear right now.
But you can't because it's one a day.
I have a service coming tomorrow to pick up all the clothes that I Marie Kondo'd.
Oh my God.
You didn't tell me you were Marie Kondo'ing.
I did it with my clothes. I did.
Oh, you I
did it before the documentary. I did it before anyone was even talking about it. I did it weeks ago.
The documentary.
Oh, well, aren't you cool? Aren't you
Isn't it a documentary on that?
It's a reality
it's
show.
It's a reality show.
Well, it's a documentary.
Starring Marie.
It's a doc.
Yeah, who is? I think she's,
is she stunning?
She is stunning, and I think she's the nicest.
She's
sweetest soul on the planet.
Doesn't judge anybody.
Yeah,
is like
she loves kids.
She loves kids. She's like, okay, we'll work through this. Has helped this gay couple. It was so cute.
Oh my God.
I love her. I also love that the show
ally.
I love
ally.
That it's
she's
in,
an ally.
She speaks in Japanese, which I love. I love that it's like, you're going to watch subtitles. We're not like forcing this. It feels very like an un-American thing to let a foreign person just speak their native tongue in a popular show.
You know what also feels very un-American about it? Like the week it came out last week, like all these people I was talking to were like, it just feels like it's the same thing over and over again. There's no conflict. I'm like, yeah, that's okay.
That's very British.
It's British. It's very Asian for this thing to be like, you're just going to watch these people improve their lives and not put up a fight.
Right.
They're just going to like be like, oh yeah, it's just as easy as folding our clothes a specific way and putting it somewhere else and like putting our papers in a box. Great. And then like that's it and they're happier.
Yeah, Americans love to be traumatized by television. Yeah,
love drama.
And I get, and that's me. Like I love.
That's me. Hello.
I love to be absolutely traumatized every time I watch TV.
Yes.
But it's a nice reprieve.
That's beautiful.
Do you like trauma?
I think 2019 trauma's gonna be big and it's gonna feel great.
Yeah.
I love like hard dramas.
TNT, we know trauma.
the way you just asked, do you
TBS
like
trauma? Welcome.
Do you like trauma?
Are you a fan of trauma?
Do you like comedy, drama, or trauma?
I'm actually writing a new hour-long trauma.
I'm writing a traumedy.
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 In truth, that is traumedy kind of what is we what do. We're yes. all writing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's where you really dig deep and then write like a whole show about your butthole for no reason.
When are you guys going to have kids?
Who says we don't?
Yeah. Oh.
We had kids together. That was the first part of the collaboration. We said, if we're going
to
do this,
we need to have children.
We need to have created
children.
Something mm-hmm. human first.
You know, I'm in this place now where I saw my sister with my beautiful niece.
Ugh,
and I was like,
niece.
Gorgeous niece, but I'm
quite
like,
a niece.
One of the top,
Ms. Weiss.
One of the top five nieces.
One of the top
in my
five
opinion.
Nieces.
Okay,
yes,
Ms.
Thank
Weiss.
You.
Okay.
I'm like, I don't think I want this.
I literally the other day decided I didn't want children.
What was the deciding factor for you?
Okay, I watched like a parent and his son run across the street, and the son like accidentally like ran a little bit in front of his dad, and his dad knocked him over, and the kid flopped on the ground, and the dad did that thing of like freaking out because he thought the kid might have been hurt, but the kid was absolutely fine, and then he freaked the kid out, and the kid started screaming, and I was like, God, I can't do this.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. I'd be knocking my kid over all the dude a fucking day. Get out of my way, kid.
Yeah.
I'm going where I'm going.
You never walk in front of a star.
No. Don't walk in front of a star.
Daddy's a star.
Yeah. That's the thing is it's like I wouldn't want my kid to have their daddy be a star.
Yeah.
I feel like really crazy that if I have kids, their parents will work in entertainment.
If you have kids.
Like if I had kids, like I just feel like parents are supposed to be like accountants and lawyers and like actuaries, which is like what my dad did, like a very boring job that I never could describe or understand.
Yeah.
And the fact that if I have kids, they're going to have to be like, my parents are like comedy writers or whatever. It makes me feel sick to my stomach.
That's interesting.
My dad does Most Fatal Murder.
My dad actually hosts the Onion podcast, which is in its 50th season.
And he makes $1 million a second.
A second.
But that's my dad, you know?
And yet you still try for baby.
Yeah, I'm trying right now.
We're trying.
Your legs have been up in the air this whole time.
Yeah.
You're doing that thing of like trying to, you know, make it get there.
Make it swim.
I saw Look Who's Talking.
Oh my God.
I know that when you have sex, an animated sperm swims.
My love, open the door.
Oh my God.
One of the great songs.
A classic film.
I've never seen it either.
Well, it has a disgusting animation.
It's really bad.
I was going to say Inception.
Inebrious Inception. What they call when you get pregnant, Inebrious Inception.
Not pejorative.
No.
Ned, you and Ethan?
Oh.
No, this is not a crazy
really.
Question.
Are you guys married?
No.
Engaged?
No.
Maybe someday.
How long have you guys been together?
We've been together for like 3.5 years.
All right.
I don't think we really want to get married.
You don't think you want to get married?
That's beautiful.
Or
it's very Joni.
Yeah.
Blue.
Yeah, that was all about not wanting to get married. I don't know. I definitely love kids and I often see kids and I want them like hypothetically, but if I actually check in with like the nitty gritty of what having a kid would be. And I have nieces and I love hanging out with them and then giving them back.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's enough.
I told Sudi, I was like, I will be like the very fun uncle of your kid.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about this the other night when we were all hanging out. Bone and Sudi were watching TV and we were saying like, I told that story about how I watched this kid got knocked over by his dad and like dealing with that emotional situation is not something I'm wanting. And it's like, I feel like now, like I'll be 29. Like, I think at some point if I really wanted kids, like I would have started thinking about it more. And Sudi is someone who's always known she's wanted children. And it's like,
yeah.
I feel like you either know deep down in your heart you want them or you don't.
Yeah.
You
there's that Nikki Glaser joke that I think is really funny where she's like, everyone wants a kid, but like you need to tell people that like, yeah, that cute baby is just going to be like a guy named Doug. Like, what? like that's the reason why we exist is because our parents were like, we want a kid, we want a baby, we want a baby. But they just...
You become a shitty adult.
But then you just you don't realize
that... And then you got a Doug. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but then most babies become like...
Dugs.
Dugs. But isn't that real? There's something real about that where it's like...
Right.
You're putting out a life into the world and then like... That you're so responsible for the way that that person moves through it. It's like crazy.
Or your baby could grow up to become Glenn Close.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
That's like always the anti-abortion people though. They're always like abortion.
What if that was Glenn Close?
What if that was Glenn? What if your kid grew up to be Glenn Close?
It could win a Golden Globe for the wife.
Your kid could cure cancer or win a Globe. Would love to have a son who is obsessed with me, though. I think.
I thought you were going to say with Glenn Close. I was like, you want a gay son.
I would love a gay son.
I bet you would want a gay son.
No, I...
She said no.
No.
She wouldn't want
No, this isn't the family stone.
This is really pejorative.
This is the family stone.
The family stone.
This is really
where
pejorative.
Where I'm like, I wouldn't want a gay son. No, I would love any sort of child who was obsessed with me.
Yes. Now, I truly think... We would all make great parents.
I think I would.
Let's raise a child together, you guys.
Yeah. I think I would be a good father, but it's, you know, it would just mean a lot of sacrifice.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get real.
But there is this thing, too, with what Rachel's saying. It's like, I don't know if it's fair for the kid for us to be like, we're fucking idiots and we make
our
money.
Your father and I.
Yeah, your father and I, we make a living, like, just dicking around and being on podcasts.
Yeah, I'd be like,
oh my God, is that what we're going to be making our living off of in 10 years?
Yeah, I'd be like, this is
yeah,
what,
you guys
this
have
is...
no hope for the future. Everything anyone has said has been like, we're just going to be, you know, struggling forever.
Here, son, here's the most successful thing I did when I've been doing comedy. It's called Hottest Female Up in Whoville.
I think about that song every day.
I think about that song.
It's so good.
Thank
it's
you.
So good.
But I was just thinking about the fact that, like, having to explain to my offspring that was what I was doing. Sure. But maybe they'd be proud. Maybe I'd have the coolest, most alternative kids.
Alt kids are obsessed with Grinch jokes.
Alt kids.
Alt kids.
I'm thinking about getting into, like, the alt kid world.
Yeah. They've got their finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Kids are so cool now. Like, that's the thing feel like the generational divide between us and our kids is going to be, like, somehow even further than our parents and us.
Yes.
Because they will have grown up with the internet and they're going to be so cool and they're going to make us feel shitty about being so old.
But meanwhile, we're the ones who are like, we thought
we were
the ones.
I think we're going to have social skills, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. But like, isn't it crazy? Because it's like all our lives we thought we were the ones who were like
the coolest and the most advanced.
It's just like how it happens with every generation. But it's like in terms of technological advancements, it's like I thought we were the ones who were like at the front line. But
surfing the web.
And also acknowledging the fact that we aren't the people who are like up to date with like what's going on in technology right now. You know what I mean? Or acknowledging you're out of touch in any way. Like the fact that we were at Seek Treatment's show last night and they have this whole bit like what's Post Malone.
Mm.
Like I don't know what Post Malone is.
Yeah,
but you know who does? Millions of kids.
I know.
And it's hard to think.
Rachel,
like,
Rachel's famously very young, though.
I saw Into the Spider-Verse, so I know.
So did I, and I felt like a kid, like an alt kid.
Like an alt kid. No,
be
but
the alt
they're
kid you
and
see
like
the
they're yes. YouTube stars mm-hmm. who make millions of dollars a year, and I've never heard of them.
Yeah,
that's
it's really spooky.
Yeah.
To be so old.
It is. It absolutely is.
I've looked at life from both sides now.
Okay,
let's
that
all
was
sing it
haunting.
Yeah, wow.
I loved it. No, I really do. I see what you're saying, though. I think it's very true. Did you find out what Post Malone is?
Yeah, he's a singer.
Yeah. He's like
it's
a SoundCloud
person.
Rapper.
I thought it was
one
bunch
person.
Of
he's kind of freakish looking.
A lot of face tattoos.
Yeah. He's spooky.
I liked his song that was in Into the Spider-Verse, though.
Oh. How'd it go?
It's Sunflower.
Oh.
It's the one that sounds like MIA's Paper Planes, but is not.
That's fun.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And that's fun.
Mm-hmm. I loved Into the Spider-Verse.
I did too.
It was like cool.
It was really, really fucking beautiful.
I want to ask you guys a question. So there was a Rolling Stone article, which was the number, like the top 100 most influential songs of 2000 to now,
mm-hmm.
pop songs or like any genre. What do you think was number one? Like the number one most respect. And it was like a Rolling Stone article. And it was like, they asked music journalists and musicians and everyone in the music industry, like they all voted. And what do you think the number one song
was? All pop?
2000?
It was pop, R&B, country. Like it was all songs that have come out as like major releases in like since the year 2000.
Was it an Outkast song?
Outkast was up there, but Paper Planes was really up there too. Paper Planes and there was, I think, Hey Ya, we're both in the top five.
Oh yeah, Hey Ya feels... Was it Hit Me Baby One More Time?
No, it was Crazy in Love.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And okay. I said that actually is a really good call.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Because even the... I was like, it's iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song.
Isn't it weird that that was her very first single and yet it kind of pretty much still is her most iconic song?
I
think it is. Well, I mean, in terms of this article, they say it is, and I think that if you were to announce Beyonce, you would do that.
Kid, they would disagree.
The alt kid would say Formation, which was also on the list.
They'd be like, "I've never heard of Crazy in Love."
Yeah, they'd be like, "Who's Beyonce?"
A really alt annoying answer to that question would be someone that's like irreplaceable.
Unconditional.
No one would say irreplaceable.
No, people would, and they would do it to be fucking annoying.
They'd be like dark.
A lot of people in this world are really annoying. Especially rule question number 40.
A lot of people in this world are really annoying.
And they would say things like that. They would.
I mean, maybe it's just like the what year did Crazy in Love come out?
2003.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel really nostalgic for that
being 13, 14. Yeah.
It was so great to be a 13-year-old.
Like, yeah.
Post-9/11. Growing up during 9/11 was really cool.
It was so great to be a 13-year-old post-9/11.
Okay, let's go around. Where were you when
Oh my God.
You're an... I've told my 9/11 story about how I demanded my mom take me to the fucking store to get the glitter album.
Glitter.
I told her, I was like... I thought she took me out of class early because we were going to go get glitter. She knew how excited I was because I had been talking about it for weeks. And the glitter album had come out that day. And I was like, okay. And they were like, Matt Rogers for early dismissal. And I was like, that's weird. And my teacher was like, uh-huh. And I went downstairs and I was like, you took me out so we could go to glitter? Glitter?
This was before the towers hit?
It was 9/11. It was after both had hit. And my mom came to get me out of school. I've told this on the pod.
This is the little... hole I'm gonna poke. They didn't just dismiss all of you guys.
No, we
were
not
dismissed.
They
didn't do that at my school either.
No, that's not the way they
in
handled
Jersey
it.
In Jersey and on Long Island.
And they also didn't tell the kids that it happened.
Yeah, we had the same thing.
Yeah.
And
we
it was
were
crazy.
Released.
You Wait, got they didn't out tell early? You?
They got out early. They didn't tell us, but they were like, everyone go
so
home.
So sick. You got to go home?
Dude.
But I found out because I went upstairs. I had band class and I left my trumpet in my homeroom. And so I go up and then the TV was on. Yeah. No one was in the room, but it was people running away from the second tower being hit. And then I just was like, oh my God, something is happening.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They did not tell us. That was like a controversial thing that people were talking about in the weeks afterwards.
Exactly.
It was like whether or not they should have let everyone know. But the fact
of the matter is that
they didn't want to say anything over the loudspeaker because
to freak kids out.
Because honestly, I was from Long Island and it's very possible that someone could have had someone that worked there. You know what
that's
I mean? Because
then
you panic the kids. You know what I mean? And
yeah, that, I think that is the right thing.
It was the right call.
That is true. Yeah, they didn't tell us, but then everyone was like, I heard, because we were like on lockdown
and
they were like, I heard that there's a dead body in the dumpster outside of school. And then everyone was gossiping about that.
Whoa.
So then when we all found out what really was happening, I was like, that's so shitty that everybody was getting excited about a dead body outside the school. And really it was so much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
I'm sorry that I brought this.
I can't believe we're talking about 9/11 on Lost Cultures. Does this feels actually like I'm in hell?
Well, it is time for I Don't Think So, Honey.
I don't think so, honey. And then they're gonna give us a finale.
Oh my god.
So I don't think so, honey, is our little segment that we do to take 1 minute to rant against something in pop culture that we hate. And Lost Culture Recess is going on tour with I Don't Think So, Honey. Tickets are on sale now online. You can go to my website under the shows page and also the Lost Culture Recess page, MattRogersComedy.com, to get tickets to our shows, because we do not have a website.
And that's cool.
And that's cool.
It's very, very niche.
Very niche.
It's really niche of us to not have a website or a place where you can centrally go to
find us.
Okay, I actually have a thing I could do.
Okay, this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey, as time starts now.
I don't think so, honey, that you can't eat before you go to bed. That's when it feels the best, and that's when I'm the hungriest. I don't know about you, but I wake up at roughly 2:30 p.m. every day, and I am not hungry, honey. So that means my lunch happens at about 7. And then am I eating dinner at 11:30 p.m., roughly, and that is also when I smoke. So I don't think so, honey, that smoking makes you so hungry. And I don't think so, honey, the whole situation, because I feel that that's when it feels the best to be full. Is when you can eat a lot and then lay down in your little bed and make yourself so warm. And feeling warm and full are a great combination, and also high. So this is what three things I like to be together. But now guess what is turning on me? My body. So I have been in the gym and unfortunately it is incredibly difficult to lose that little tiny moment in the belly, because I have no impulse control and I don't know what to do. I don't think so, honey, that my body is not 18.
And that's 1 minute.
Wow.
That really took a
turn. That was a
journey. Oh my God. I'm just saying it's fucked up that you can't eat before you go to bed.
No.
Or that you can, but it's not good for you.
Right. It sucks that like the actual best thing to do for your body is like stop eating at 7, because the most luxurious time to eat is like midnight.
And you know, many places in Europe, they eat their cena very late at night.
Spain?
La Cena.
La Cena.
Yeah. Well, now, in Spain, like, we were taught that culturally they have like a large dinner at like 10 p.m.
Yeah. Yes. I just went to Spain last year, and we would make reservations at like 8:30, being like, we're very European, and then get there and the restaurant would be empty. No one.
And the culture is to eat very late.
It's like at 5 o'clock, the restaurants are like all German tourists. And then at like 8, it's all Americans.
That's so funny. Cool.
When are they going to get the national news flash that that's not good for them?
I don't know. Their bodies are just like evolved.
Have you been eating? I've been eating late at night on Whole30.
I've been trying not to. You know what was a real kicker for me was when we...
No, what are you going to say?
Was when we Postmate. We had...
Oh no.
We postmated McDonald's to the duplex at 1 in the morning.
I ate some of that.
That was the best. That was my best idea ever.
Why are we at the duplex at 1 in the morning?
We were at your show. Have You Heard of Christmas? And then we were like, I haven't eaten dinner.
Oh, yeah. And then you guys left that bag of McDonald's up in the duplex, you fucking freaks.
Oh, no. That was me.
And I threw it out.
Were people upset?
The drag queen was making fun of it.
Fat bitch. Oh.
Fat bitch.
Her show was
changed my life.
The drag queen was like,
her name was Fat Bitch.
No, her show was called Fat Bitch.
Oh, I thought she was called Fat Bitch.
That's from 30 Rock. That was one of Tracy Jordan's movies.
Fat bitch.
He played a dog.
Well, we got stuck in a drag show, and then I left really fast, and I did leave the McDonald's
and
there, and I
was left to deal with the bag.
It was just a bag full of my dignity.
I just want to eat McDonald's again.
Well, last time I did Lost Cult, we were eating chicken McNuggets.
Yeah, honestly, we ate the whole episode long, and I famously hate when we eat on air because Bowen Yang chomps and slomps right into.
Oh my god! Wait, are chicken nuggets Whole30?
There's absolutely no way.
Oh my god!
They're made of garbage.
Which is Whole30?
Do they smell joy?
If underwear is Whole30, so is garbage. Shut the fuck up.
Okay, well, if you say so.
It's time for Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay.
Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey on this episode with the friends who folk. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Lip balm. Lip balm, you are trash. And it should just be the same across the fucking board, and yet we have all these different types of lip balm. Give me Burt's Bees. That should be the one and the only. I don't need all this other chapstick medicated, high intensity moisture. Bitch, it is all a graft for marketing, and I see it, bitch. Big lip balm, I am going to destroy you. This year in 2019, I am taking down Big Lip Balm. I am releasing my own line of lip balm, and it is unbranded. It's just one kind of lip balm. There's no variety. It's the one that works for everybody because all lips are the same. Say it with me. All lips are the same. All lips are the same.
15 seconds.
All lips are the same. Stop. Now, if you are gonna, I will actually start a GoFundMe to make a new lip balm that is the Bo and Yang lip balm. And I bet you can bet your ass.
And that's 1 minute.
That I will have a lip balm.
And that's 1 minute.
This year.
I think that you should have the Bo and Yang lip balm, and I'm going to have my fragrance, Gay Sun by Matt Rogers.
No, Gay Sun. And then don't you have like an ad for this?
Yeah, it's going to be an ad for my fragrance, Gay Sun.
Gay Sun. I love that.
Gay Sun.
You don't understand him, but you can smell like him.
What is the scent?
It smells like weed and cum.
Oh my god.
Gay Sun, I love that.
Okay, that was fabulous.
That was fabulous.
I don't know though. I feel like I see you use lip balm frequently, but that's also probably why you feel so
I love
to it.
Lip balm. Yeah. I think the marketing around it is insane and there shouldn't be so many different varieties when all lips are the same. Okay, this is okay. We're gonna go with Rachel.
Okay.
And then we're gonna end with Ned.
I thought a lot about this.
This is Rachel Winitsky's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
Okay, I Don't Think So, Honey stools. stools are like the evil bitch step cousin of chairs.
Yes.
Which are a far superior genre of sitting furniture. I have a big, gifted, and talented ass, and it simply does not fit on a stool, is not comfortable there. 10 minutes into sitting on a stool, my ass is going, no, thank you.
I don't think so.
I love couches, sofas, chaise lounge, fainting couch, all yes. Stools, no. You know what my ass makes? Stools. Stools is another word. For shit.
15 seconds.
For me, shit is a yes. No. But unfortunately, stools, no, stools are terrorism. I'll say it here, I'll say it now. Making a fat bitch sit on stools is terrorism.
That's 1 minute.
Wow.
That's
1 minute.
That's more than enough.
That was moving.
Gifted and talented ass.
It's
I love.
Big.
No,
I love
listen,
it.
You are incredibly fecal. And I think that
fecal
you
woman.
Have a lot to discuss. That was actually a line in Night Soap. You vile fecal woman.
I do feel that way.
I love
well,
that.
Well, that's good that you feel this
Thank
way.
You.
To be clear for everyone listening, though, if anyone ever overheard me shitting, I would be fucking mortified.
Oh.
Oh, if you ever want to get over someone, listen to them poop.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's, yeah.
And it's easy.
Have them send you a tape.
Yeah.
If you ever want to get over a crush, just realize that they have poops.
Uh-huh.
They yeah. have poops.
And you're not going to want to eat their butt anymore after that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now,
because I think about eating all the butts I see. I think about uh-oh. Eating every yes I want to taste.
A
I think
sequel.
About poops and I want to eat their butt and I can't believe that I don't.
Now, your issue with stools is that they don't have backs. Is that the main
they
thing?
They don't have backs, which is so uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's go off, queen. Slay.
I love to go off on stools. I'm 5'8". If my feet don't have anywhere to go on a stool, your stool too tall.
That drag it, her.
Insane. The tall stools are the craziest. There's no practical yeah. reason.
And I slouch so badly, and there's just no Same. Feasible way to not slouch on a stool. Like, no. It's so much effort to sit up straight on a stool that doesn't have a back. And then if your stool does have a back, I'm like, fuck you. Why don't you just make a chair?
Oh my God, people who sit Calm up down. Straight on stools Ugh. Are insane.
They're cops.
They're cops.
They're cops.
They are. Totally. Thank you.
They're okay.
narcs. Rachel, that was real important what you did.
That was really important.
I'm just trying political. To live my life in a way that, is political. Meaningful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
So now this is Ned's I Don't
I
Think So Honey debut.
Am I allowed to read?
Yes.
Yes.
And I Don't Think So Honey.
Yes.
Okay, I've never done that.
That's very inebrious of
Ned's,
me.
I'm ready.
Very inebrious. This is Ned's debut, I Don't Think So Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. The Masked Singer. What is it? Why does it exist? You're hiding someone in a Liberace animal costume, and then once they take off the costume and reveal their identity, I still don't know who the fuck they are. No one wanted to know what it would feel like if Donnie Darko could sing Living La Vida Loca. Are we that starved for ways to distract ourselves from the slow death of civilization that we have to pour millions of dollars into a kinky parlor game for struggling celebrities? Jenny McCarthy is an anti-vaxxer.
30 seconds.
Nick Cannon said he is proud of how Kevin Hart handled the Oscars controversy.
No.
Robin Thicke made Blurred Lines. How did this happen? The Masked Singer can only have been created by people who are deeply sexually unfulfilled. The people who created the Masked Singer are furries. Furries resisting their kink, and it's going to ruin their lives. I don't think so, honey. The Masked Singer. I will probably watch it at some point and enjoy it, taken in by the thrill of masquerade. I will wait out the apocalypse watching Mr. Bean emerge from an Energizer bunny costume.
That's one minute. Very good, man.
Very good. Very good.
We just watched The Masked Singer last night for the first time.
How was it?
And we discussed it on another episode.
I think I'm going to love it, actually.
And it actually is the dumbest.
It's actually bad. You want to like it for how bad it is, but.
Mm-hmm. I kind of loved it, though. Is
Rachel,
that
you fucking idiot.
I very famously
have
bad
taste.
You are
a trash queen. And I have bad taste, too. And I'm telling you, like, even I couldn't get enough for this.
I liked it, but I was also like, this genuinely feels like I wish that they unmasked the singer and then murdered them in front of an audience, because
yes,
that feels like a what
stakes.
This is.
It feels on game.
Mm-hmm, it does.
It feels like the Hunger Games, so why not go the extra mile?
Exactly. Like, I want to see the B-lister get brutally murdered.
The judges are insane. I can't believe Robin Thicke is on the
Robin
show.
It's Thicke.
Like,
and
seriously?
Jenny McCarthy.
It's so
nuts.
Jenny McCarthy.
She's right off the slopes.
We're recording this in January, but yeah, I mean, like, maybe by next month it'll feel like it'll get to a different cultural place, but like right now it feels truly insane.
The way they guess is so funny too, because they're like, I'm sensing like Beyonce. And it's like, you think she's here? Like,
yeah.
She's busy.
Who did they guess last night where I was like, they're not.
Oh.
Someone was like, it's Jimmy Buffett. I know it. And like, it's like, he just sang for us. And it's like, you know, that's not Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett, I would love the match. Like, if it was people like Jimmy Buffett,
it'd be amazing.
Joni Mitchell.
It'd be like.
If it was Joni,
I would die.
They do this whole bit with clues where they give out clues.
Yeah.
Like, it's a package.
We think one of them is LaToya Jackson.
And I think one of them is Ricky
the alien.
Lake. Ricky
oh
Lake is
God.
One of them.
Oh. Wait, I was also reading. I was reading rumors that one of them was Tori Spelling.
Yeah.
Which made a lot of sense to me. See, like, we love this show.
I mean, we're going to
be. You're right, we do.
We're going to be talking about it, though. Like, it will be a topic of conversation. It's going to be water cooler talk
because
for
it's,
a few months.
It's, and it's going to
you're
be in
right.
textbooks someday as the Franz Ferdinand assassination
yes.
totally. Oh, yeah.
of World War III.
Well, they're mm-hmm. dressed like Franz Ferdinand. I just can't believe the costumes.
The costumes
so
are
insane.
I think they're
really
absolutely
ornate.
Stunning.
There's one rumor
they're
that.
They're kind of Cirque du Soleil.
They are.
They're good.
There's a rumor that Margaret Cho is one of them.
What?
No.
Is like the pink poodle
singing.
Poodle.
So you know who knows.
She does sing.
She sings.
Wow.
But she's. I mean, she's booking work though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's booked.
Again, it's on the Masked Singer.
And it's on the Masked Singer. She's on high maintenance. She's got a thing coming out.
She's out there working.
She's working. So.
All this being said, like, I'd absolutely love to like write a packet and do. Like, get staffed on The Masked Singer.
Oh, yeah.
Season 2.
That'll be a lot for writers to do on that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. We've had all of our I Don't Think So Honeys. We've discussed The Masked Singer. We've had so much culture. We found out Ned's culture. And it's time. And we've heard three songs, including one world debut. Which
Marie
what they call
Kondo.
A song the first time.
I
the
love
that
debut.
You do it on a the first time you do a song
on a
podcast is a
world
debut.
We've created mm-hmm. new words, which is something that we do at Las Culturistas. Inebrius is now in the cultural lexicon.
It is.
And we've created many cultural moments and new rules. And now I think that we are left with no choice but to hear one more song from the Friends Who Folk. But before we get into this, when are you guys performing? What the hell's going on?
So we try to do a roughly monthly show at Union Hall in New York City, baby.
Yes.
I believe we have a show. The next show after this airs will be March 7th
mm-hmm.
at 8 p.m.
Yes.
At Union Hall. Mm-hmm. And we also do have an album and an Instagram. We're trying to get more.
Yeah, we're trying to be less on stage, more on the internet. More
yes, that's line. Good.
Just pictures.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be more pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2019 is all about pictures.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
Thank
yeah.
you. Well, tell us a little bit about the song and then take us into it.
So this song is about being in love.
Mm-hmm. Making promises to someone you love.
Mm, thank you.
I haven't been the same since I met you.
And I forget my own name when I am with you.
And I will love you till I die. And when I die, I have a very simple request. Make sure the minions do a dance at my funeral. Make sure the minions do a dance at my funeral. Make sure the minions do a dance at my funeral. That would be really cool. I will never leave your side,
through thick and thin, until I die.
And when I'm lying on a bed of death, I'll squeeze your hand and with my dying breath remind you of what I always wanted. Insist that the minions do a dance at my funeral. Insist that the minions do a dance at my funeral. And if they refuse, say it is my funeral. And that will be really cool. People tell me the minions are computer animated characters in a show, but I know that the minions are actual minions. The dance can be super simple. I don't want the minions to have to learn choreo. It's mostly just arm stuff. A lawyer put this in my will. They should have one rehearsal. Please have the minions do a dance at my funeral. The minions from the movie Minions should be at my funeral. Please have the minions do a dance at my funeral. That would be really cool. Make sure the minions do a dance at my funeral. Make sure
I want them to say my name in their language.
Make sure the minions do a dance at my funeral. Make sure
they should have one rehearsal to learn the dance.
Make sure the minions do a dance at my funeral.
I've been writing a dance.
Make sure the minions do a dance at my funeral.
It's about bananas.
Make sure the minions do a dance at my funeral. Make sure the minions do a dance. That would be super cool.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Press some folk.
Folk me. Folk me. Folk me. Folk, folk me. Mm. Folk me. Folk me. Please folk me.
I hate that.